to this on the website.
Okay.
Welcome to the Town of Bolton Board of Selectmen meeting, the accounts payable Tuesday, March 25th, 2025, 6 p.m. Town Hall and Zoom. I'll call this meeting to order. And first, we're going to consider an act on the accounts payable. Do we have a motion to
approve the? I'll move to approve the accounts payable as presented in the amount of $293,962.77.
Is there a second?
Sure.
Bob, motion.
Amanda second.
Seconded. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, I gotta find my document. Okay, there we go. Page one. What is Aptuitive again? It's a software.
Aptuitive is the website, I believe. Okay. Web host.
Okay. And then page seven, there's a late fee for like one of our utilities, I believe it was, off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering why we were getting charged a late fee for telephone.
We've had this discussion a couple times. It's because of the length of our AP process.
But I thought we were doing it twice a month now to like avoid that.
But depending on when the bill comes in and when the bill gets over to the finance committee, I mean, at the longest length, our AP cycle is 27 days.
And these should be net 30, right?
Right. So it's not always possible to remit the payment within 30 days. I hate it. I wish there was another answer. We've had this conversation a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to figure out how to build efficiencies into that process. Because I know it's not a huge amount of money, but, you know. And then there's another software on page seven at the bottom, E-Code 360. Didn't know what that one was for.
So that is for general code. They have been working with us for about 2 years to actually codify our regulations, which is wetlands regulations, zoning regulations, ordinances, and all of that. And that was their last payment for some additional work that happened as a result of changes that were made with the charter after the original codification project.
It was related to a charter change.
Well, it all gets codified into a book, really. Is what
I see. It's just you mean physically dealing right with the charter, not something right that the charter said that required action.
Right, but if you remember, the part of the charter took effect like a year after the first part. You know, so it required some changes to the document.
Okay, I see. Yes.
And then, what is hydro testing? I believe it was a fire commission on page 13.
Okay, so hydro testing is required on an annual basis for hoses. So hoses are tested at like 1.5 times their average working pressure to make sure that they don't explode during a fire incident, to make sure that they don't separate from couplings.
This seemed to be like related to bottles and cylinders, though.
So, okay. So that's page 12, you said?
13.
So, 13. So the other thing that happens is when you have SCBA bottles, which are self-contained breathing apparatus.
Oh, okay.
So you have to do a visual check every year, but every so many years, I think it's maybe 6 or 8 years, they actually get tested under pressure in a water bath.
Okay.
You can do the same thing with fire extinguishers. Instead of disposing them and replacing them with new fire extinguishers, typically we trade them in to the fire extinguisher company and they do that themselves. And we end up at getting a new fire extinguisher at a lower rate. But but that's what hydro testing in that capacity is.
Thank you. That was it for my questions.
One.
I just have one.
Yep.
Page 16, Stanford Wrecking. 182,245. What's the billing process for that?
So what the billing process for Stanford Wrecking is they submit a request for payment, and it first goes to our consultant, Ty and Bond, and Ty and Bond reviews it and makes sure that they've completed all of the work that they're asking to be paid for. And then they sign off on it and send it to me with a recommendation for our signature for payment. So I will tell you, so they submitted the first bill that we paid. We have a second bill that came in, which I think is this $182,000. And their initial ask was included a couple of things that they had not yet completed. And Ty and Bond called that out, and they reduced their ask to something that Ty and Bond was felt was appropriate because the work had been completed. So they signed off on it, sent it over to us with their signature, and said, we recommend, you know, that this bill be paid. We are keeping copies of the memos from Ty and Bond, along with the payment requisitions that have been signed out.
Good. And so the points are the points at which Stanford Wrecking sends bills. Were those set out in the contract? Like they were. Pardon me?
Is it monthly or is it?
Or is it just is it based on amount, types?
I think it's the type. So the first bill that we got, right, was for the completion of the asbestos remediation.
Yeah.
Schedule values versus
time. So you think it's based on?
Yes. On work completed.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's six yes. And one absent. So that brings us to Board of Ed. Written waivers, information only.
Got it.
And that's for, got it. And that's for a waiver to, for the, was it the Bell system?
There were two of them.
There was two of them.
The Chromebooks.
Yes, that's what it is.
And those were Chromebooks?
$66,540.
And then we don't, do we need to?
You don't act on it. They're required to inform the board.
And the other one was for the upgrade of the Bell system for $29,175. Any questions? Okay, moving forward, consider an act on approving the following dates.
There were no transfers to approve.
There is.
There is.
There's at least one we have to act on that I can remember.
Is that on the agenda?
Yeah, I guess it does say consider an act on budget transfers, number three.
Oh. There's one for five. Is that the one we need?
That's the one we need to act on. I think everything else is informational only, but I'll check.
Yes, we need a motion. I'll
make a motion to approve the transfer within the highway budget from of $5,000 from the category repairs and maintenance services to the category repairs and maintenance supplies, because they've been completing more repairs in-house from past years, which allows quicker turnaround times for down trucks or equipment.
I'll second.
Is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Six yes.
That is the only one we need to act on. The others are for information.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to number five. Consider an act on improving following meeting dates. So there's a public hearing for April 22nd, immediately following the board of
selectmen. It's right on your agenda.
Oh, it's just on the agenda.
Is there any discrepancies?
Well,
any comments?
So at the Finance Committee meeting last week, you said that it was on our agenda for the same as it was on our finance calendar, which was April 29th. And now this one is April 22nd, because we were going to discuss moving the finance meetings because we were going to move this up to April 22nd. You said, don't worry about it. It's on the agenda for April 29th. So what happened?
I thought that was the case. Let me ask Patty, because she wrote this up. Because I thought we kept it the same. Hey, Cass, can you join us for a minute, please?
So
yes, I thought we didn't move.
the annual town meeting. It's May 7th, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody good with that?
So this was the change date. I thought we kept it on the 29th. Is this the typo, or did we?
I cannot attend the May 7th, but doesn't mean you can't schedule it for that.
Yeah, I can't either, but that's
fine. May 7th was good with our moderator.
Don't change it on my account. Yeah. Just letting you know.
Don't change it on my account either.
Okay.
And someone's feeling very pessimistic this year. There are five references.
Well, we just decided we would talk on them all at once.
You think it's an omen? Right?
If we schedule five, we have one.
Budget public hearing is scheduled for the 22nd. We did stay with that date because we said it's going to be right after the BOS AP meeting that night.
Oh, maybe you're right. You're right. I apologize. ROV wanted to bump it out.
Right, they wanted
to bump it. We decided to keep it live. Okay. Right, yeah.
And we also needed to have enough time in between.
It was bad first.
In between things.
The 29th was going to be really, we had talked about, I know Kathy and I had talked about the 29th, but that was going to be tough for us with notification requirements and everything else. So we ended up making it work with the 22nd.
Okay, so we've talked to the Register of Voters and that's...
Well, we have not talked to the ROV again about the 22nd. They knew that that was our original date.
Okay.
We have not gone back to them since they had the request at the Finance Committee meeting to talk about moving it to the 29th.
There's a lot of moving parts there.
So many.
Bob scheduling.
And their idea behind moving it to the 29th, in case anybody wasn't at the meeting, was so that they would have another week to potentially work and learn with the new machines. Can we make that work if the board decides to move?
I don't believe we can, because we need to have at least 7 days between.
Right, it's the notification.
Does not give us that.
We have to be not more than 21, not less than 7.
Oh, annual town meeting.
That was why we were going back and forth, Kathy and I, trying to figure out our notification dates. So I'm not really sure that we have an option of pushing it to the 29th.
Okay. Are you doing some research there, Gwen? Amanda?
I don't know what, because this is the schedule we had at the Finance Committee, but maybe I was comparing it to another version.
No, so they the 22nd was the original date
that we had
all agreed on.
Okay.
And then I had reached out to Jill and said, what would happen if we had to move it to the 29th? Because Kathy and I were trying to figure out how to make all this to work.
So this was the
original. And Ross happened to be at the finance office that day. And so she quickly had a conversation with him. And he's like, well, maybe that would work better for us, the ROV, because it would give us another week to work with the new machines.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and this all happened within about 20 minutes. And Kathy and I reached back out to Jill and said, we've got it. We can make it work. The 22nd is the best date.
I didn't have anything written on the 29th either.
It was the schedule we got at the last Finance Committee meeting. Right. So I got confused about what was original and what was different. I just want to make sure we have enough meetings for discussion and deliberation.
Jim brought that part of that conversation up about the machines at their meeting.
So if it's on the 22nd, we need to file. The 22nd is
it's a Tuesday.
So we need to file by the prior Thursday.
Yes, I think that's accurate.
Five days
in advance, right?
The 17th. So it cuts out one of our budget meetings. Okay.
And you've got, I did commit to having Tim help with the budget presentation.
Okay. So that's only three meetings.
He's quick.
Okay.
That's fingers crossed.
So three meetings after the the presentations. I mean, we can do deliberation after the presentations if we want, but okay. Button it close.
Well, April really sucks.
It's tight. It's tight every year.
I don't think we had a whole lot of choice.
Yeah.
Because of what we had to place in the paper and how much notice we had to give in between things, we were definitely cutting it close.
And why can't you like announce, you can't announce two things at once or something? Is there like some weird?
You can.
Oh.
But there's time frames that you have to follow within for each of these things.
Right, for each of them, yeah. Okay, well.
And I will say that the referendum dates are a recommendation from ROV. I asked them for a recommendation, and this is their recommendation.
So if the public hearing is on the 22nd, the first referendum is the 20th. Must adopt the budget on or before the 10th anyways. Okay, so that's fine.
All right, so. Well,
and that brings up the whole annual town meeting on what date you wanted to do that, because that brings up May 7th or 8th. We had both of those available.
Right, but Tom wasn't available on the 8th.
Right? Oh, that's right. So we were going to do the 7th.
So we did, right. That's why the 7th is the date that we put in
there. Absolutely right.
Originally, we had an option. We reached out to him. He said he was available the 7th, not the 8th. Which is why we landed on the 7th.
Sorry.
But a day is any. Do you need a motion to adopt the dates as presented?
We do. Yes, the board needs to act on these dates.
And also move we adopt the following dates: public hearing April 22nd, 6 p.m. immediately following the Board of Selectmen AP meeting at the Town Hall. Annual Town Meeting Wednesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. also at the Town Hall. And the referendum, Tuesday, May 20th, 2025. That's going to be at the Reber Hall. And hopefully that'll be it. But just in case, Tuesday, June 10th, 2025. The second referendum, June 24th, if the world falls in. Referendum 3, and then 4, Tuesday, July 15th, 2025, fourth referendum and needed, and Tuesday, July 29th, 2025, referendum 5, if needed.
Sadler seconds that beautiful motion.
Is there any discussion?
Some of those are quick turnarounds, too.
All in favor.
There's a budget cuts if we need to make them.
Yep. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Six yeah. Yes. One absent. That takes care of that pile. Consider an act on House Bill 7067, the assessment of motor vehicle for property taxation. Does Kara want to come up here instead of hiding out back there?
Hey,
up to you.
Thank you for joining us, Kara.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
So we did earlier today send you a memo from Attorney Barger that he had promised us, and then Kara filled out a draft of the form for you and provided you with a memo, which you got as you came into the room tonight for the meeting. And Kara is our subject matter expert, so I think if we have questions, she will be very helpful in responding to those.
So we have two options. One is to do nothing, correct? And the other is to increase the assessed value from 85% to 90%, which in the terms of our world is, didn't it end up being $2.4 million? Difference.
With... I just have to. Yeah.
That's in the other memo that you gave us.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. Oh. That just.
So That was the
might be a little bit different because we had
that was the email that you had sent me that
oh, okay. Because we had the there were some small changes with the Board of Assessment Appeals. So this is what I did. Yeah.
So what it does is it really take normally you're using whatever a blue book value or whatever the basis is, and that just modifies that number across the board.
Yeah, it's the MSRP.
And that's just a straight across the board. If your category is X, it's X plus 5.
Right, and then the bottom
raises up.
Yeah, to 20.
Your junker can only go so far down.
Right.
Yep.
Hey. Excuse me.
I'm in the bottom category. So
it's just the junker, the word junker that I object to. So I am in that category of having applied for the, you can apply for 500.
Or the antique. Right. Yeah, you have to fill out an affidavit. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we've been getting people to do.
So the two options that, so there's A and there's B. But we're not choosing between those two options. Is that right? We are.
We have to make a decision.
So then there's three options. Do nothing A or B?
No.
Or do nothing is A, right?
Right.
So do nothing is the status quo?
Right.
Yep.
Oh, I see. Okay. I get it.
And to change and go with the new,
okay,
we would add 5% of the assessed value of the motor vehicles. Okay. Yes. Amanda.
So my question, so this BAA number, the one in A, the 85% start depreciation schedule is what's on our grant list.
Right. Minus there was like 9,000
right.
something in adjustments. Yeah.
So the only grant list on the website is the 2023 one, not the one for this year, right?
I don't believe that. No, I was, okay. was waiting for the
okay.
final.
So the 2023 net motor vehicle was 54,785,000. So based on this, the 2024 went down by 6 million, basically.
Yes.
Okay. So we've already lost 6 million between last year and this year. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Some of the information that's come out, Amanda, is that we're not alone in that. That is what's happened pretty much across the state, is that their grand list assessment has gone down significantly from last year.
And so what is that a result of?
A change in how motor vehicles are valued. It's no longer based, it has no relation to market value. It's just a percentage of market, of MSRP.
And the
fact that
motor vehicles
they changed the whole structure.
Oh yeah, everything.
They did.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's important to understand.
And so the advantage was a lot of the advantage was to the commercial motor vehicles.
So previously we valued cars based on market value, and now it's just MSRP.
Right.
Loosely.
Yeah, because they wanted it to decrease every year.
Okay, instead of fluctuate based on, because we had some random fluctuations based on COVID and all that.
Right.
Okay, so if we ultimately implement this option to start at 90% of the start depreciation schedule, we are essentially bringing our current grand list up to what it was last year, basically.
The motor vehicle portion.
Yes, I apologize. Yeah. The net motor vehicle portion is a little, it's going to be what? 600,000 less, but yeah. And so that will keep us from losing that 6 million in
assessment.
Yeah, the grand list, out of the grand list.
Right.
So this process going forward, it's going to be based on these numbers. So we would anticipate that it'll be more of a more stabilized number going forward or going. Is it continually going to be going down? Is that the aim of this thing?
Yeah. It starts at 90, goes down 5% every year until you get to 20, flattens out.
Okay.
So it only goes up if people buy a new vehicle. So people better start buying.
Just when they buy a new car.
Right.
Yeah.
And is there any downside? Any downside to adopting this?
You know, it's I'm just thinking the state has been wanting to do this for a long time and trying to figure out how to do it and not kill the towns. This is just this is just dying by a thousand cuts as far as
right.
the town's tax base right. and the state not picking up a dime of it. I mean, that's the frustrating part of it. But I think this we really going to have to do, or we're starting off the budget cycle in a very deep hole.
Well, a
significant hole.
The other thing to remember, and the finance committee will wrestle with this, I think, a little bit on Thursday night when they talk about revenues, is that, you know, we this year we are getting a supplemental allowance from the state of about $17,000 for motor vehicle taxes that were based on the motor vehicle tax cap that they set. Last year, it was in excess of
$700,000.
It is a huge loss.
So this will pick up 120, maybe?
Well, is that based on the governor's new budget, or that's like a definite number?
That's a definite number.
Why did it go down so much?
Because we're no longer
that much above, high above the...
And it's based on...
Right, because we're 32.74 versus 32.46. And it's based on
last year's assessment.
Okay. And previously we were at 40 right. something.
It's always based on the previous year. So, you know, so next year will be based on whatever we end up with this year. But I mean, that's a huge number. It's a huge loss in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So this 5% will constitute 120,000 of it or something.
Yeah, I think that's what you would estimate it in rough numbers, Gary.
Right.
Yeah. It was on, I think, the first memo I gave you.
There's no good news here for anybody.
No.
I mean, ultimately, because I was concerned about doing this because I was afraid it would hit the taxpayers hard, right? Like it would be bumping them up. But because the numbers already went down, we're just kind of keeping them level. And some people will even see a decrease.
I think it keeps it net neutral.
Yeah. Right. So it doesn't, I'm not as concerned after having this conversation.
You have to pay it some way or another. So.
Yeah. Right. Well,
whether here or in the taxes,
right, in the property,
right.
Right. That being said, right, different populations have cars than have property, right?
Yeah.
So that's a, you know.
That's my argument every day. Yep.
We might not be on the same side of that argument. I mean, it is an argument. Okay.
Do we have a motion to accept?
So there are two. There's another option with that, and that is if you want to apply that change to unregistered motor vehicles, that would be opening up the personal property list and making, you know, I think I had estimated a $25,000 change.
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
That would piss people off.
Yeah,
sorry.
I you maybe would earn money, but you got to say no. And
for a car that's just sitting there?
And to me, I would say no on that.
And Kara, do you know if we have to act on the veterans exemption at the same time?
No.
That's a separate issue.
There was nobody that got kicked off, so there's nobody to appeal, so there's nothing you have to really do on that.
Okay. The last time we had this conversation, well, is that a separate line item?
No.
Yeah, it is a separate line item, so I'll wait.
Veterans. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else on that?
There's technically, there's going to have to be a BAA period with noticing and stuff, but I doubt that anyone will really come because no one usually comes motor vehicles anyway before they get the
Well, I
just
have one more question. Sorry. So we have to, if we're acting tonight on approving this certification of municipal option, when are you going to have that? If you have a TBD there.
So. QDS has a program, you know, that they run that will go through it. And then I have to just go through the exemptions, make sure they still, it shouldn't take long. It would be before, it has to be before April 15th.
Yeah, where is within four? It has to be
within 14 days.
We have to notify OPM of the vote. So if we vote on it, so
yeah.
Okay. So you'll be able to finalize that number.
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
So we want to make a motion to
adopt this. Actually, there's a parenthesis here. So this would be the motion. This whole thing, right?
Oh, did you nicely put it?
Actually, it says.
What? When the Kara wrote in there?
I'm not sure.
No.
Kara Fishman? Oh, you're talking that one, right?
Yeah, it would be the bottom, right?
I think I would just go. Which one do we want to go with?
No.
What's
the one today is more current, that number, if that's what you're, but that number is not.
So we don't want to make a motion with that actual number, do
we? No.
No.
We can't.
No.
So I would just say will be a proper motion to implement what this thing is called.
So do we just use this pursuant to bill notification 2025-1, House Bill Number 7067?
Well, I'll make a motion that the Board of Selectmen implement the option allowed for under House Bill 7067, the assessment of motor vehicles for property taxation, which allows us to move the maximum from the start depreciation schedule from 85% to 90%, starting with this year's current grant list.
Yeah, and you would have to have the bottom one too, don't we?
Well, it kind of goes. Yeah.
What bottom one?
Or is that just automatic?
Yeah, that it's a schedule.
Oh, it's a schedule.
Yeah.
We don't have a choice in the schedule.
Any other discussion?
Was it seconded?
Bob seconded it.
Oh, okay. Yep. All in favor? Aye. Okay. 6 yes, 1 absent. Consider an act on House Bill 7067, a property tax exemption for veterans who are permanently and totally disabled.
Send us a new number.
And did you say nothing changed on that?
Right, because originally there wasn't, they didn't have 100% in the bill. They just said, and there were all these emails from legislators saying, but we meant 100%. So, but everyone here that got it, originally there was sent a letter, was 100%.
Disabled.
So,
doesn't change anything then.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. In other towns, there were people that got kicked off.
But the thing that wasn't clear last time we talked about this was whether or not it passed on, the exemption passed on to living members of that family, which this bill clarified that it does, right?
If you've gotten it, if you are, you have to be alive when you get it initially, and then it can go to the
widow. So anybody who would have qualified if they were alive, whose deceased relatives are, isn't qualifying right now because
so it would have been existing and then moves forward to the spouse or whomever.
Right.
Okay.
So they have to be enrolled first.
Okay.
And then the new bill put in 100%.
And so what's the I can't find the email. What's the reduced change in net?
It was like 2 million something.
A reduction of 2,397,205.
I mean,
but it doesn't have a net impact on us, is what you're saying, because they were already at 100%. The 13 that are on the list were already 100%. So it really doesn't have an implication for us.
Right.
So it's something the state has implemented. It's not a town, so it is what it is, right?
You can be permanently and totally disabled under the VA's disability definition, but not be 100%.
Not be 100%
what?
Disabled
or whatever the rating.
Oh,
yeah.
So they were, all these people on the list were already getting their maximum tax exemption that's allowed under this new law, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Well, so if there's no change, then why in your email does it say that it amounts to a reduction of $2,300,000?
Because I asked her that specific question of what the impact was.
But I thought they just said that there was no impact.
There is no net impact, but that's the value that's not being taxed.
That's,
but it hasn't already been being taxed.
Oh, the change that happened, was 7067, was they added 100%. So if somebody had been 90%, they were not, they were kicked out.
We just wanted to have the numbers available so you know.
But I mean, regardless, this is a state, there's nothing we could have acted on because it's a state law, right? No. So
right. Yep. So now we're on to
any other questions for Kara?
Yeah.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah,
thank you, Kara. That really clarified that issue. That,
right.
That had me really going in.
Yeah.
Consider an act on active transportation micro grant up to $5,000, no match. Is that is there something on here? Is that just
I don't know if Stephanie was able to get anything together for the meeting, but you know, she's actually, this is a fairly simple grant that I've asked Stephanie as the supervisor to work on. And she, in this grant is specific to bicycles and bicycle safety equipment. So we thought what we would do is if the board, would like us to apply for this grant, we thought we would do what Andover has done, and that is to get a couple of e-bikes that could be used, and our plan would be to repair the shed that's next door on the neighboring property and be able to allow those bicycles and bicycle helmets to be utilized from that location. E-bikes are not something that I want stored in a valuable town mm-hmm. building. But in a shed, I think it would be appropriate. And so I've asked Stephanie to start working on this grant. It's her first opportunity ever to work on a grant application. And I think as a department head, this really fell into her area of expertise. And she did meet with Eric Anderson over in Andover, who successfully applied for this very same grant last year. And he did receive the grant. And that program is going pretty well for the town of Andover.
So, do they charge to use it?
Andover does not charge to use it. If you would like to go over to Andover, and
what can you charge to use it?
You probably could.
Okay.
Andover's choice has been to not do that.
Okay, I'm just.
Do they? So I know, like with the kayak rentals, we don't actually charge, but you have to submit a fee.
We do, yeah.
Case of damage, right?
Like, I think we charge $10.
Right, but an e-bike is far more expensive than a cut. Well, maybe not.
No, they're
easier to damage than a kayak.
So we would probably work with the town attorney and create some waiver language and some liability language.
Yeah, because that's my biggest concern. Because bikes are. Well, I think they're more dangerous than
the bike. Get the
bikes. If we're able to do that, just a general comment. We for years we worked with the local biking community to help and improve situations with the limited resources we have and a road size and a state road size. To me, it just gives us an opportunity to do something positive.
Well,
the biking community.
Right. And we also thought, you know, with the Heritage Farm Trail going in at some point in the near future.
Oh, that would be a great
This is adjacent to the Heritage Farm Trail.
Right.
It's adjacent to the trail that we just finished for the connectivity grant. You know, there's access to other trails from those endpoints. So we thought.
Oh, as a motorist, I would do it too.
So, I mean, when Stephanie met with Eric Anderson, who by the way is an avid cyclist, and is also the town administrator in Andover, she actually went for a ride. She thought it was quite cool. She enjoyed it. I suspect Eric would be happy to have any of you stop by and utilize his resources also.
So these would be people would just sign up somehow through the town hall to borrow it.
Right.
Okay. We should just Stephanie should know that there are different size motors on these things, and there are certain the larger size motor, the ones that have the larger motor, are not allowed on rail trail.
Right.
So I think that we should be, if we buy them, that we should be buying the lower horsepower or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But not only that, it also keeps people from going way faster than.
There's people on my street who have them, and it's terrifying. And there's kids on these bikes. I'm like, you guys are gonna die. They don't wear helmets sometimes.
I also think that if we're building boardwalk back here, you shouldn't be riding an e-bike on a boardwalk. No. So I don't think this trail that's going to be going in.
Building jumps.
Well, you can easily drive down along here and get on the rails.
I will say, Glenn, it's built as a multi-use trail. I don't think we can stop it.
Yeah.
So do I have a...
That's our grant as a multi-use trail.
Are we including helmets?
Yes, we are purchasing helmets and bike locks as well.
We're applying for the grant. If we get it, then we'll
have to wear the helmets.
Especially on your road.
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere.
Give you a ticket pad.
I think the other thing to know is that Eric did recommend to Stephanie a local bike proprietor. One of the things he shared with her is, you know, if you just buy these things offline, you might save a little bit of money, but then getting service is difficult. You know, he recommended very highly that she use a local vendor.
There's a bunch.
Yeah.
Manchester, Glastonbury.
Yeah. So do we have a motion to move this?
I'll move.
Micro grant.
Can we just make sure we add Gwen's comment to that motion that we should be within the limits allowed on the rails to trails?
Did you just make the motion?
He did.
You just did.
He did.
Very good. Good job.
Is Bob seconding that?
Yes.
I'll second
that.
All right. Gwen's seconding it. All in favor? Aye. That's 6 yes. One absent. Consider an act on town and board of ed portion of capital budget. We kind of thought we did it last time, but we're not sure. So
we only did the board of selectmen, and we're supposed to approve the whole thing.
So,
and did they have anything that they were able to pull out?
Well, it was what you pulled out.
Well, we did pull
some. They pulled some things out, but the last activity on these budgets was by the Board of Selection.
They had pulled out the bell thing previously.
And we pulled out.
So we just need to approve the 492.
The two major items.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So we need to.
Approve the Board of Ed capital. We need to approve the Board of Education capital improvement budget in the amount of $492,000.
I'll second.
Is there any other discussion? All in favor? Aye. 6 yes, 1 absent. Discussion on Stanford wrecking change order. That's a significant change order.
Yeah.
But.
Well, let me, and I'll do the best I can to explain this. Ty and Bond is going to send us a memo, to give us a little bit more specific information. But I think I understand it well enough to help the board understand. So Stanford Wrecking, and those of us who were in the room when, we interviewed them and asked them about their bid, one of the things we asked them is, geez, you came in quite a bit lower than everybody else. Why is that? How are you able to do that? And the answer that they gave us is that they plan to spend more time separating the waste so that only hazardous waste gets disposed of as hazardous waste. They had also planned to take all of the hazardous materials to a location in New York. The company's name that would take that, I believe, is called Minerva. And, there were some trucking fees associated with that, but they had gotten a very good price on that disposal at that particular location. One of the things we found with the extensive testing that we had to do is that...
Jim, I'm sorry to interrupt, but how is that privy to this, the trucking? I didn't catch the point of the trucking comment.
No, that will come into play in a moment.
Okay, got it.
So they had also, scoured the regulations and had conversations with Minerva about the concrete that has some paint on it that has a low level of PCBs in the paint. That level is less than 50 parts per million. And both Stanford Wrecking, Tie and Bond, and Minerva were of the impression that they could bring those concrete materials into the Minerva facility in the state of New York and dispose of them there. Right. So there was some, again, there was some significant trucking costs associated with that. But it gave them a good location at a good price to get rid of the material. So they started to bring some material over there. And my understanding is the state of New York stepped in and said, no, no, you can't bring that here. And they said, well, geez, respectfully, can you show us where that is in your regulation? The response that they got from Minerva, from the state of New York, is it's not in our regulations, but that's how we interpret our regulations. So Stanford Wrecking today's Tuesday, they were going to try an experiment, which was they were going to sandblast the PCB laden paint off of the concrete walls, and Tie and Bond was going to work with them to then test that concrete to make sure that it was clean of PCBs, which clean is considered clean at less than one part per million PCBs. So then they would just be disposing of the paint and the slag from the sandblasting as hazardous waste, and the concrete could be disposed of locally as just concrete waste. And so what they've done, you've got a change order request that's part of your package. I think it's labeled number 10. And that change order shows the cost of the sandblasting. And in that cost of the sandblasting, they have credited us about $100,000 in trucking fees because they would no longer need to truck all of that concrete to New York.
But that still doesn't solve the problem of where the sand blasted materials is going
to
go.
Well, right? I believe that'll go to Rhode Island or Ohio.
It's in here as PCB bulk product waste disposal.
Right, they've already found a place that will take that.
Oh, okay. So
that's not
an us problem. That's a them problem. Okay. They can't go to New York, obviously.
I mean, it's $181 a ton, so it's $50,000.
Right.
But how is this our fault? If they made these assumptions, if everyone else made these assumptions that this material could have gone to this place in New York,
because our contract wasn't capped, like there was leeway in the contract that allowed them to come back and make these adjustments, I think, right?
I mean, that happens with every contract, and that's why we have contingency fees set aside. So we had $200,000 of contingency fees set aside. We've dipped into that about $28,000 for some additional work that we've asked Tie and Bond to do with full-time monitoring of the remediation project. And so this would dip into that roughly another 74, 75.
Okay, so this isn't out of budget.
It is not. It is within our. It's within our contingency fund.
That still doesn't answer Mather's point.
If the cost of stone goes up after you've priced a job, can you go back to the customer and ask for more money?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No, but they had come in with the loan number and had planned on bringing it to New York, where it was supposed to be acceptable, and once it's not,
but that's not our
problem.
Unless it was specifically written contract that they have the ability to adjust, and took some ownership of that.
At the end of the day, it's our waste. We're responsible for it. We created the waste when we, the town of Bolton, created the waste when we built the
facility. Right, but they gave us a bid to get rid of the waste as part of this whole project.
And they...
I mean, I didn't read the contract, admittedly.
Yeah, I mean, they went in and did an analysis of... And I mean, we gave them, I think, a lot of time to do an analysis. That was
part of why we tested all this ahead of time.
Yes, exactly. They knew that there was paint. And I feel like that it's their responsibility to go and check with the state of New York. Just want to make sure that when we bring this
Minerva
stuff to
place
you,
is in the business of taking in hazardous materials into the state of New York, they should know the state of New York regulations.
Exactly.
Like,
Yeah, I see your point.
So then, I mean, if we agree that to that, then the question is, well, what do we do about this? Are we going to balk and say we're not going to pay you this $74,000?
Kind of depends on what the contract language says.
Is the contingency money ARPA money?
It is not. It's taxpayer dollars.
Okay. Certainly want to be a good partner, but I certainly don't want to be absorbing variables. That's kind of why you do the engineering up front and you make a bid.
And they did the engineering and they knew what they had. And they had a location that said that they would accept
it. I hear you. And unfortunate things happen all the time. I've been there before.
So maybe they need to deal with Minerva on it. Well, maybe it's on them to put the pressure on Minerva to say, you guys, this is what you held us. I mean, maybe Minerva, as you said, the regulations said.
Let me put it another way. We can't wait for a $75,000 lawsuit.
Which is what
would happen. They would stop working and we'd end up in court.
Even have we asked Attorney Barger like what our contract says in terms of what our responsibility is?
I have not discussed it. I will say that,
that
I have not.
That statement discussed indicates that they're already not willing to, like, it's already known that they're held back, that they're not moving on this.
Is that the case?
They are. No, they've been practicing to see how it comes off, right?
Right.
They've been shot blasting up there. Yeah.
Yeah, that was yesterday. They were shot blasting.
Where are they doing it? Just
in the building.
Inside the building. In a contained space.
Okay.
It's contained.
It's like there's children.
I think it would be a good idea to have a look at the contract. I mean, how many, you know, is this the first of a number of situations where they're going to come back to us and say, oh, you know, this something changed here and we thought we were going to be able to do
that. So I asked a very pointed question. I will tell you, they were very loath to come to us on this issue. They were visibly upset that this happened. I will tell you. I know that you weren't there. It was only John and I that met with them, but they were truly upset that they had to come back to us. They know that we're working with a limited budget, and they were upset about the fact that they had to come back to us with this change order. I did say to them, are there any other issues that you can foresee that is going to cost us extra money? And his response at that point was, right now we can foresee absolutely nothing additional. We're far enough into this project that we don't see any other looming issues.
But just even the term of change order indicates, you know, change order in my world is like, you know, the customer asks for extra work or, you know, something outside the scope of the contract.
This is not unusual in construction for these things to happen.
I know that, but it's who pays for it is the question.
Well, and the other question is, like, they're not done yet. So what if there's cost savings in future parts of the project? Are they going to give us those cost savings?
No.
Exactly. So should we wait? Like, I mean, it could be a net 50K loss to them at the end. And I'd be, you know, based on savings they have further down the line.
I can't imagine there's any savings available in this. For what it is. I mean,
I'm just giving a hypothetical. You never know, right? They didn't anticipate this. You can't. I'm just kind of surprised that they're not waiting until the end to see where the numbers shake out to give this to us. But that would be.
Well, if you waited to the end,
they can't progress if we don't approve this. So, you know, that's
right.
Well, true, I guess. Yeah. Because of the materials.
Besides, we get litigating the whole thing. Is there an option to not use that extra fund money and have them use the ARPA money that we put in for other things?
There is, but then we lose our improvements.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's our option. So I think my
recommendation would be, you know, if the board's going to approve this, is to use our contingency funds And we haven't committed all of the extra funds, which is, I believe, around $150,000 to do improvements to as ADA accessibility and other upgrades. You know, we need flooring back in there. We don't have a choice about flooring. We can't use the space the way it is right now. You know, so there are some things that we just don't have a choice in. But I would say if we get further down the road and we think things are getting tight, we come back to have that discussion and say maybe, you know, maybe we don't do the mini splits.
Right.
You know, we keep the window shaker air conditioners for now.
But the contingency fund came out of this year's budget.
Contingency fund has been in the capital budget.
Oh, okay. So previously allocated.
I'm trying to think of an analogous situation that I've been in. I can think of dozens. But is this number, where I've gotten them to pay for them, like problem that's my problem?
Right.
I can think of it where engineering happens and then the scope changes because the engineer indicates that the soil is different, like at the Hotel Marcel, like, okay, now we need pile driven. We go back to the customer. You still want to do the project? Yes. But the engineering had already occurred. It's more of a vendor issue rather than engineering issue and a scope change. So I'm having trouble wrapping my head around that part of it, but maybe I'm thinking of it wrong, Rodney. I mean, you're in construction and stuff. I've done a lot of construction projects.
But I'm not in the hazardous disposal.
That doesn't matter.
And I don't know what the rules are.
And I don't want to be a jerk, but I also don't want to work with somebody that's going to sue us immediately for $75,000 on how much is the project? $1 million? That'd be pretty petty to sue us over $75,000 on a mistake. It's not our fault.
It's part of the job, though. I mean, they ran into it, and these people aren't taking it, and they had previously agreed to
it. They should sue Minerva.
Right. Good luck.
Right.
Good luck. I mean, now you're spinning the wheels, but... I understand, and I don't
say that they're going to immediately sue us, but what I'm saying is they don't have a solution.
How about
so they would have
the solution is you absorb the $74,000.
How about
that's one?
What happens? The other thing that happens is you work together. You split the difference. Would they be willing to split the difference on that?
Would we be willing to split the difference? I would,
and I'm just wondering if they would. And
is this cost analysis? This says sandblast cost analysis. So is this like this hasn't been done yet?
No.
So this is a forecast of what it would take to do plan B.
Correct.
And they have pretty.
They tried it and determined that it works?
No. They tried sandblasting on Monday.
Yeah.
Ty and Bond has to do some testing.
To make sure it's
below one part per million.
Yep.
And then we'll know, you know, probably by the end of the week whether or not it was successful.
But they're submitting to us a request for this money based on something that hasn't even been proven or done yet. So are you concerned the hours could be more than they estimated?
Or less. Not
necessarily. I mean,
or maybe the blasting isn't going to work.
They want to get approval before they do it.
If it has to be tested.
Well, we'd have to approve it contingent upon confirmation from Ty and Bond that this solves the problem, if we're even willing to go that route.
I don't like to see people lose, but we also are responsible for the money here, so I just
and we have the money set aside for it. It's not like we're going to the bank borrowing it.
We're borrowing it from a future project or another project.
It's money that was set aside specifically for this project.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's all that one is.
All right.
Right.
But it's taxpayer money. At the end of the day.
Well, the next highest bid was what, 1.2 million? So correct. We picked up $200,000 right off the get go because they decided that they found Nerva and could bring the stuff up there and they can't bring it there.
But they didn't check.
Well, they didn't bring a piece up because they didn't have a piece to bring.
Like, if I don't do my homework on a bid,
they did check. They checked with Nerva, they checked with Ty and Bob.
Oh, sorry, I messed up. Amy, right. Here's a So does it go for 75 grand and expect them to go, oh, that's okay, Mather, no problem.
So has Minerva never taken something from out of state before?
They take stuff from Stanford Wrecking all the time.
So why all of a sudden is this a problem?
Because the state of New York decided it was a problem, even though their regulations don't state it's a problem.
But why hasn't it been a problem in the past? Just like a random audit? Or
if some wheel didn't get greased or something.
I know, that's what it sounds like.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, so...
So okay. Can I, you know, yeah. Obviously you're going to be talking with these guys. I mean, I don't think we can get away with simply saying, no, we can't pay it. And I'm just wondering if, you know, you just say, hey, listen, the board's got a surprise on this thing, willing to see if you're willing to share this with you, you know, at least half and half. You will absorb half, you can absorb the other
conversation.
Half.
Because it wasn't our fault.
A conversation.
And I would make a motion to approve payment based on
splitting it 50-50.
You have that conversation.
If they brought it to us with true, you know, regret or however you put it, Jim, that you know, they know that it's, that's what that tells me. So maybe they'd be willing to help out on it or something.
Mm-hmm. And that would show good, I think.
They're truly upset about it.
Yeah, and I think it would show good faith on our part that we're willing to do it. And if you guys, hey, listen, we're willing to do it. Could, you know, but, you know, we're tight. Can we share that bottom cost? And if you want, I'll make a motion to that effect. We approve it based on authorize the administrative officer enter into a conversation with the
negotiate
with the Stanford Wrecking Company for the $74,314.
Make a counter offer
and install the project for
it? Or is it a conversation between Bob?
Just a conversation. Okay. And the two share in the additional cost that they're requesting.
So we go back to these guys with this proposal of splitting it, and they don't want to do it. They pull off the job.
No.
Then we have another conversation.
Then you start
the partner we want to work with.
Share it.
Stopping the job, too.
The motion says it shares it. Whatever you can negotiate, that doesn't mean that you can get, if you can get 50-50, that's great. If you can't, you get 20-60. I mean, you're going to have to deal with this one way or the other. You negotiate stuff too.
I mean, it seems like and I would be frank with them, right? This seems like a failure on your part to do your due diligence. We understand it's putting you in a hard place, but we don't feel that we should be asked to foot 100% of the bill.
Yeah, we're willing to pay a portion of it because, you know, because we want the project to go forward and we want to keep you on the job.
So do we want to just make that motion to approve 50% of it and negotiate in negotiations based on review of the contract from Rich Barger, upon which point the rest is reviewed or something?
Sure.
You know, we got to add the review of the contract in there, I think, right? Does that make any sense?
Well, before I have a conversation with them, I'll have that conversation with Rich. I mean, he's read the contract.
Right. Oh, I'm sure they know the contract, but
the point is that the town attorney knows the contract as well.
Right.
He reviewed the contract before we.
So we want his interpretation before we
of responsibility.
Say okay.
That would be great.
And I know that Rich has a long background in construction.
I would prefer that we use his opinion versus our opinion because we don't know what the contract says.
When's our next meeting?
It all goes back to the language in it.
When's our next meeting?
The first?
April.
Next week. Next Tuesday.
Well, let's just defer this decision.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's going to be my recommendation.
I need a motion. Or no.
We don't have to move.
No, no.
Right.
You can table it till your next meeting.
We need Rich.
I'll make a motion that we table the discussion on Stanford Wrecking change order until our next meeting on April 2nd. Tuesday of next week. Our next meeting Tuesday of next week.
It's the first.
On April 1st. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor?
Wait, somebody needs a second.
Mather did.
Oh.
And so we have a week to get a hold of.
I will get a hold of Barger. I will get the memo from Ty and Bond.
Yeah.
This is just so fresh that the Ty and Bond hasn't had a chance to get her that yet.
That's fine. Yep. It's no harm yet. As long as they keep moving forward, that's all. Hopefully, they're willing to negotiate. That would be.
At a minimum, they'll know that we're not just, here you go. Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, but at least we're serious to discussing it.
We need to, we had a RFP go out for the facilities.
The facility study.
Study, and we have the study back, and the people who have submitted bids on this study are calling and asking questions, and we haven't looked at them. They've been sitting in the office for a week or
They've been sitting there for over a month.
Oh. So we need to have this
Why?
Facilities and public
because
safety
meeting. Because we can't
meeting.
Get a meeting for the facilities and public safety subcommittee.
We need to set a meeting time right now. Not
we've
for
had,
now.
We've had no responses, and we've had responses that say I'm not available.
So I'm saying we should probably have this. Let's see. So it's that's the four of us, right? Still?
Mather,
Tim, me, and you.
Yep.
Yeah. So what days are good for you? You want to just have an AM meeting?
Sure.
Monday, sure. 31st, Tuesday, 1st. Tuesday's the same day we have. So.
Can you do one before Monday?
Tuesday.
Okay, Monday the 31st works. Works for me.
Can you do that Monday? 8:30?
8:30.
Yeah, I'll
get into
where
at cool.
Here?
That's what this book does. First Monday. Yep, we'll have it.
Did you say 8:30?
8:30. Yeah, is that all right?
Yes.
Town hall.
Sorry.
It could be here. Town hall. Yes.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. And at this point, we're going to turn the meeting over into an executive session. We just said today. Okay.
You need a motion. Now.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion.
Move into executive session. Or two items, one to discuss selectman salary, two to discuss administrative review, contract, and wages.
And if you want me here, you have to
and
state that.
And also to invite the administrative officer to be a part of the executive session.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor? Aye. We are now
so, Casey, at this time you can leave. I will give you some bullets about what's happened for the rest of the meeting. You're free to go for the rest of the night, so I will give you the time that we come out of executive session and any actions that were taken after we come out of executive session.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you.
We can record the part of that. That's correct. And we can record the part after.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
So we are out of executive session at 8:19 p.m.
Now we're moving on to number 13, consider an act on selectmen salaries. That's going to get tabled till our next meeting.
Set a date
for a public information
Information meeting with presenting a recommendation of the subcommittee.
Would we do that the same night we're having that public meeting for the budget?
That's a lot.
Although it'll be well attended and it's budget relevant.
Fine with me. Why not?
I think that makes.
I think that's a good idea.
Does it make sense?
Better
than
yeah.
So April 22nd.
I'm okay with it.
I don't have a problem with it.
And just whoever.
It sure saved us another meeting.
Well,
do you run that meeting, Ronnie?
No.
No.
Ross.
Oh.
No. Which meeting are we talking about?
The public hearing. The budget public hearing
is run by Ross Lally, okay, as the chair of the finance committee.
Well, you can do it.
End it and start after.
So you could just do it before. Maybe my suggestion was to ask him if he could just make sure he keeps the meeting moving along so that we can move into this public information session.
So we have an AP, BOS AP meeting, so it's immediately following that.
Right. So I guess maybe that's not a good idea. And do we need to resolve this before the revenues of the budget?
No, we don't.
The annual town meeting, which lasts about 5 minutes.
And people don't show up, so.
Right.
I mean, I think the public hearing, like, I think if we can keep it moving, this would be the best. We usually start at 7. Hear me out. We usually start at 7. We're likely to start at 6:30.
Yeah,
that's probably about.
So we've already gained a half hour, so I say we tag it on the end.
I think so too. I think that's our best chance of getting a good audience there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all into
doing. Well, and conversely, you might get more people for the budget portion of the discussion than you would otherwise.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Both ways.
Right. Yeah.
So I'll make a motion that we are doing that. Need to do that. We don't need a motion. You just schedule it, right?
So.
Yeah. We need. It's Ross's agenda for the most part, so we just have to discuss it with him.
But it won't be on his agenda.
It won't be on his agenda.
It'll be a separate meeting after the.
Right.
Immediately following.
Immediately following the Board of Selectmen's.
The Finance Committee's public
hearing. The Finance Committee meeting.
Okay. Got it. I like that. So consider an act on town administrator's contract and wages. That's getting tabled.
No.
Not to do that.
Oh, okay. Ready. We want to make a motion. We don't know the contract date.
We're just not gonna act on that.
We're not gonna act on that part. We're just doing his pay for the past year.
He was gonna do the salary and vacation carryover.
Okay.
So if you're ready?
Yes.
Did you
I don't know what. Well, go ahead. You should bring that up.
Did you put the salary increase in?
No. I pulled up the supervisor's union contract.
Right.
So the 7/1/24 increase was 3%. The 7/1/25 increase that's coming this year is 2.75, and the year after that is 2.75. So it wasn't the same. So
okay. So the one we negotiated was the 7/1/25 one. I think, correct. Right? Okay, so it was two and three quarters.
But that was we're doing retrospective.
That was a recommendation of the board, the 2.75.
Okay, regardless of
the subcommittee.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to screw Jim, but this is going back. I mean, I have to be honest.
7/1/24.
Yeah.
A quarter of a percent.
But that's
a quarter of a percent.
Yeah.
But our discussion was based on what we negotiated just last spring.
Oh.
For the supervisors union.
Right.
Got it.
Right.
Or 7/1/25. So we're working with that 2 3/4 number, not the 3.
Right.
So that
I'm okay with the 2.75 if that makes this conversation easy.
Yeah, that's the recommendation.
Okay.
So we need a motion to retroactively.
I'll move that we set the administrator's officers
on July 1st, 2024
pay increase to 2.75% retroactive to July 1st, 2024. And as part of his contract, allow 2 weeks of a vacation carryover, and if that's not utilized the following year,
I don't think you have to do more than that because it just disappears.
It disappears.
Right. Second. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. That's 6 yes. 1 absent. So that takes care of.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adjourn.
Wow. Is there a second?
You got it? Gwen seconded it?
No, I didn't. I'm just laughing.
You were smiling over here. I thought you would second it.
I will second it.
Thanks.
I'm just laughing.
Somebody beat you, Bob.
This voice was.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
6
yes.
Oh my God, I have
one action. Sorry, one action. Thank you. A voice and a face for